Amen. All of our visitors, guests, and friends, truly God is good.
Amen.
Amen. And the scripture says, mercies enduring forever. So we thank God for that. Amen. On Friday, we went over some of the latest current, some of the events that are taking place, especially over in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Amen. Some of the events in the Middle East. And I actually was doing a little more reading on ISIS, which is the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, their jihad.
Right.
Amen. And how we need to keep our brother, the Christians in the Middle East in prayer. Amen. I was reading, we know about current events and the things that are taking place, and we know that these are the last days, but I was reading back in 2003 when Saddam Hussein was in charge of Iraq at that time, a dictator. They had over 1 million Christians in Iraq. And after they removed Saddam Hussein from office, the Christian population between 2003 and now in Iraq has been reduced to 485,000 in half. The Christians, because of the Muslims that are in charge, so they reduced down. But then ISIS has been trying to annihilate anything that has the label Christian. Anything with the label Christian, and they have advanced to take over Mosul, which is the second largest city in Iraq. And then when they took over, they gave them an edict. They had three choices. The three choices were you convert the Muslim to Islam, or you can pay tax and be free, well, four choices, or you can leave, or you can die. Those were their four choices. They could do one of the four. And if you paid the taxes and chose to remain a Christian, they took all of their possessions, took their wives, took their children, and they basically were left with nothing. And some of them, they said 5% of the Christians denounced Christ. But 95% of the whole city had to escape to the mountains. 95% of over 300-something thousand people escaped to the mountains trying to get away from ISIS. And what they did is anyone that was a Christian, they went and marked their houses with a big N so that they knew they were Christian. So if anyone moves in that house, they would instantly die. But even more astounding than that, when it showed they wanted to be serious and they wanted the Christians to take them seriously, they beheaded the Christian children, put their heads on a pole, and put them in a park. And because they refused to deny Christ, amen. And then I watched some of the other news, some of the other Christians that refused to deny Christ, they beheaded them, laid their bodies on the ground next to a fence, and hung their heads on the fence over their bodies. When I looked at that, I said, and what do we go through? Amen. What do we go through? But we really need to keep our brethren over in the Middle East in prayer, because ISIS, they call it a Christian genocide. They're trying to extinguish anything that has the name Christianity on it. When we look at what they're going through and we think about some of our minuscule problems, amen. What about God? And on Friday, we went over the sincerity, how we need to serve the Lord in sincerity and in honesty, amen. And I was trying to get a different message for today, but the Lord told me to stay right there. So we're going to stay right there. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. I think it's time for the church to take its rightful place as a child of God, not in tongue, not in word, but in deed and in truth. We really need to live what we talk about. We need to live all that we preach about. Amen. So we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of Jeremiah chapter 2. And then we're going to skip down to read verses 31 and 32. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't know which way we're going to go with this, but we're going to try to be led by the Lord, because as a church, we need to get our focus right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We need to get our focus right. We need to stop focusing on all the insignificant things in life. And we need to make God our number one choice. On last Sunday, we went over that, Lord, I can't make it without you. And Paul wrote to the Colossians church, he says, for we are his creation, and all things consist by God. In other words, everything in life is held together by God. Amen? So we're going to skip over read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip down to read verses 31 and 32. Amen? Do we all have it? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Verse 31. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Now he didn't say just hear, he wants you to what? See. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, and a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Lord, we bless your name on today. We thank you, Lord, for the spiritual revival that's taking place in our souls. Lord, we ask you to continue to speak to us. Lord, continue to align our lives with your will through thy word. Lord, we ask you to speak on this afternoon. Lord, we lift up the sick and the afflicted. Anyone that's in trouble, in any way, we lift them up now. Lord, we pray for Dr. Dawes, oh God, that you continue to bless her. Now, Lord, we ask you to send the word. Lord, may it find us out. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. Once again, my concern is not what kind of house you have. I'm not concerned with how much money you got in your bank account. I'm not concerned with the car you drive or the clothes you wear. But I'm concerned today that is it well with your soul? You know, a lot of times we come to church to shout and jump, but when we leave church and we forget God. Well, this is one of those times in Israel history when God constantly is reaching out to his people, trying to get them to turn from their idolatrous ways. God, their idolatrous ways were governed by their desire to please self. They were more interested in being like everybody else, and they were forgetting God. So the first verse reads in the second chapter of Jeremiah, this is God speaking to his, anybody here people of God?
Hallelujah.
I said, anybody here people of God?
Amen.
Lord, whatever you do. We used to sing a song, whatever you do, don't let me be lost for eternity, for above all else. How many really had that testimony this afternoon? Above possessions, above relationships, I must be saved. Amen. I believe John the Baptist, as he was getting near the end of his ministry, he summed it up best. When it comes to salvation, when they were trying to always draw a comparison between John the Baptist and Jesus, John the Baptist realized, I'm nothing more than a forerunner. I am He said, there's one that cometh after me whose shoes are not even worthy to tie. John said, now, just remember this when you try to make this comparison. John said, he must
increase,
and I must
decrease.
I believe that's what the church should be doing today. Lord, help me to decrease, and Lord, you increase. Can we say, Lord, help me one, help me for a minute. Lord,
you increase,
and make me to decrease. That's what it's all about this afternoon, amen. Because in the end, we make it to heaven not based on anything that we've done, but because of God. But the first verse said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou, God said, I remember when you used to follow me. I remember when I was everything to you. He said, even in the wilderness when you had nothing, you remember the time you had nothing? I followed the Lord. He said, I remember this. In a land that was not sown, Israel was. Holiness, I wonder if we were to examine our lives this afternoon, can we say we still are holiness, or we were holiness unto the Lord? He said, Israel, my people, was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of it is increase. God said, you know what? I gave Israel a prescription. I gave them some steps in order to follow, and Israel followed it. Amen? He said, the first fruit of the increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them. God said, because Israel was on my side, I was fighting their battles. So anybody that did anything to Israel, God said, I took care of that. Amen? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Something has now changed. And I want us to take an introspective look in our spiritual lives. Have things changed? Amen. The songwriter said, Lord, take me back to where I
first believed.
Take me back to where I
first believed.
Lord, take me back to where I first received you. And then he went on to say, Lord, I feel like I'm so far away from you. But I bless the Lord that I can still hear him calling my name. Anybody feel like you've distanced yourself from God? Amen. You should still want to hear him calling. Lord, as long as you're calling my name, hallelujah. I know I have an opportunity to get back to where I used to be. Amen. Said the house of Jacob, all the families of the house of Israel. He said, now, Lord willing, on Friday, we're going to go further into this. We're going to go over something. I'm not going to tell you the best, but you'll read it. And then you won't come here Friday. We're going to go over how God took something that was despised, rejected, and thrown in the field, cleaned it up, gave them a fresh start, and then in their prosperity, they forgot God. In their prosperity, they forgot God. So Lord willing, we will go over that on Friday, this coming Friday. But he says, what iniquity have your father found in me? Well, how do we know we find, the iniquity means to find fault with God. He said, what fault have you found in me? Well, how do we know that they have found fault with God? Because they what?
They went far from God.
So far away from God. Now drop down to verse 32. And this is the indication of where we are at with God. Amen. This is an indication of where we are at with God. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her? In other words, you won't go to a formal occasion and forget your clothes. You won't go to a wedding as a bride and forget what your clothing or your attire for a bride. He said, now, as much as that means to you, God said, what about me? He said, yet my people have forgotten me. Can we read this together? Forgotten me what? Days without numbers. Have we forgotten the Lord today? Are we living based on our own presumption, our own will? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Now let us go. This won't be a shouting message, but I pray that it find a logic place in your heart. I pray that this word will find a logic place in your heart. Let's go to 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start off in verse 1. We're trying to create a mental awareness of God in our minds and in our hearts. Woe unto them that forget God. Woe unto them that forget God. Paul says, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your... Right now we're trying to do what? Stir up our...
Your mind.
Now, he didn't just say your minds, because when you stir up the mind can receive good and it can be bad. The mind can receive godliness and ungodliness. Paul said, but at this stage of your spiritual walk, Peter said, I want to stir up your what? Your pure mind by way of...
Remember.
That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the Lord's apostles, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Know this first, that there shall come in the... We're living in the... They're going to become what? Scoffers of mockers. Amen. And every one of us probably knows somebody that mocks our religion and our faith. But how many of us are succumbing to the mockers or the scoffers that mock you being in church, that mock the fact that you follow God? Amen. Do you forget God because of what someone else is saying or the pressure that they're exerting on you? Scoffers walking after their this is always the rival to doing what God wants us to do is what? Our own lust. Our own lust is always the rival to us doing what God wants us to do. And then when we get our own flesh in the way, we forget God. Amen? And then we won't just forget Him for a short period, but He just said we forget Him for what? Days without number. Why? Because of our own flesh, our own lustful desires. What we want, we will do what we want and we will forget about God. We will know that we're not caught up in an area, but we're honest and we will still do it and forget about God. Now let's go to Jude chapter 17. Amen. We all know the rest of this. Jude verse 17, not chapter 17. There's only one book in Jude. Amen. I hope y'all don't look for chapter 17. It's not there. Let's go to Jude. And let's go to verse 17. We're trying to figure out why we are not what God wants us to be. Amen. And how do we forget God? What causes an individual to forget God? When we know how good God has been, when most of us know we want a hellbound road, bound up, tied up, wrapped up in everything that was going to destroy us, and God came and cleaned us up. Has God bless you? Have you increased? And has He decreased? But if God blessed you, did you allow the Lord to increase and you decrease? I said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I don't care what you do. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies, Holy. The words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jude is repeating what Peter had already taught. Amen? And Jude was who? The Lord's brother. So he's repeating what Peter had already taught. Now, I know we're not supposed to have Bible class on Sunday.
It's all right.
But we can shout our way to hell. God said, now I'm going to make you rule over men. Time to be right. Amen?
Amen.
How he told you that there should be scoffers. In the what? Where are we living at, saints? The last day. So you got to watch those people that are trying to take you away from God. Scoffers, mockers in the last day. Who should walk after their? What are they walking after? Their own ungodly lust. Never in my short life, it's not that long, have I seen so many people that would deny the Lord to gain favor with people. I'm trying to figure out what means more to you than anything. What should mean more to us than anything? You know what? Every time I ride by, God knows this is my witness and my testimony. Every time I ride by a shack, I ain't say this is my wife's testimony. I ain't say this is my wife's witness. I say this is mine. When I ride by a shack or I ride by a tent, I say, Lord, let me live in a shack. Hallelujah. I don't have to have a house. I don't have to have anything. Just let me be saved. So every time I ride by a house, no matter how broken down it is, I say, Lord, I don't need anything. I just want to be saved. Hallelujah. They say, don't you want a BMW or less? No, I want to be saved. I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So every time I see someone so much less fortunate, I say, Lord, thank you. And we're going to do a Bible safari. Our next scripture will explain a little more. These be they who separate themselves, they are
sensual.
You know, sensual means they've been governed by the spirit of the world. Sensual. They've been governed by the spirit of the world. Well, the Bible says if any man be a friend of the world, he is the
enemy of God.
Enemy of God, right? If you love the world, then the love of the Father. So said, these be they that have been governed by the love of the world. Paul said, demons have forsaken me. Having loved this present world. They are sensual. They have a love for them. You know what? Just let me get my name up on the marquee. Lord, I don't have to have my name on the marquee. Just let me be. Let me be saved. They are of the world and they have not
the spirit.
The Bible says, the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. So they that are the flesh cannot do the things of God, because the carnal mind is? Don't we know the scriptures? How can you live godly if you're carnal minded? That is enmity with God. You want to be saved and live godly? You gotta get rid of that carnal mind. Amen.
Amen.
But somebody said, well, how do I get godly? Isn't God a wonderful God?
Yes.
He gives us the problem. He diagnoses the problem. He tells us what we went wrong. Then he gives us the way to what? Correct the wrong that we've been doing. He said,
Beloved.
He didn't just call you a child. He didn't just call you anybody. Oh God, but he said, you're my beloved. You're special unto me. what to do, but I'm also going to tell you how to do it. Amen. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1. Now the problem is, when you get sensual, when you get in self, you forget God. You know why you forget God? Because everything you see God through your eyes. And you fail to see God through the eyes that God wants you to see Him through. Amen. So now Romans chapter 1, and it's, we have a few more scriptures that we're going to go over, but I promise I won't keep you too long because I know Sundays are our afternoon times. But I heard somebody say, I want to be saved. Lord, however long it takes, I just want to be saved. Amen. It's a lot of reading. I don't want to read it all. Let's start off in verse 21. Let's start off in verse 21. Now, we're dealing with ungodly living by living through our own eyes, by increasing, and God decreasing, and then we forget God. And we're going to read a little later. He said, they don't just forget God. He said, when they forget to even retain God in their knowledge. When you start living your life, and you live it without a knowledge of God, you're destined to fail. You're destined to mess up. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him. When they knew God, they were so determined to do what they wanted to do, they would not glorify Him as God. Neither were thankful, but became in their, and in their, you know, he said their mind got messed up and so did their heart. Why? Because they did not glorify God as God. If whoever has your heart and mind has you. Amen. Whoever has your heart and mind has you. Amen. Foolish heart was what? Darkened. Professing themselves to be, they, you ever talk to some people, they can just tell you all about God. They professing to be, but they are fools. And change.
Lord.
And change. They knew God, but they would not glorify Him as God. And in their own lustful ways, they changed the glory of God into the image made like unto a and the birds and the four-footed beasts and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their heart. You know, listen, when you don't forget God, two things are going to rule in this life. Either God's going to rule your heart or your lusts are going to rule your heart. That's why Paul, that's why John said, he said, love not the world, neither the things
that are in the world.
All that's in the world is what?
The
lust. Lust is sort of what? Lust of the eyes. The lust of the
flesh.
And the lust, you can say it this way, of the pride of life. Those lusts will destroy you. Because they're not of the Father, but they are the world. So when you don't have a God that's giving God the glory, then you give it to the world. Then who and what is influencing you? The next time you make a decision or look back over some of our past decisions, what prompted you to make that decision? Did you acknowledge the Lord in some of your ways? In the ways that you felt like you should supposed to acknowledge the Lord in what? All your ways. Gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their flesh to dishonor their own bodies. People say, well, what's going on in the world? They forgot about who God is. So the world will run amok because they don't know who God is. Who changed the truth. And then when you walk in by your own flesh, you take God's word to a lie. You can't go to heaven over a lie. Who's the father of all lies? The Bible said all lies should have their part in the lake of fire and the second death. So when you begin to change God's truth into a lie, where is your influence coming from? It is certainly not from God. Amen? And serve the creature more than
creator.
We're going to stop right there for all of us right now. make a decision. What do I do and why do I do it? Am I doing it for the him, the her, the it? Am I doing it for God? Are you serving the creature more than? Somebody said, not me. Amen. The Bible talks about in James, it says, whoso hear God's word, and he just come and do all the word, or hear of the word and not endure, he deceiveth himself. And in your deception, you think I'm doing what God wants me to do. No, you're just a hearer. Until you get that word down on the inside and start doing it, you are deceived. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. Somebody, I know the Bible inside and out, but are you doing it or are you just hearing it? Because once you hear the word, you will deceive yourself. But he said, but whoso? Look at somebody say, whoso?
Whoso?
I'll let y'all help a little bit. I'll let y'all relax a little bit. Y'all getting kind of tight up again. Whoso?
Whoso?
Look at the perfect law, Larry, and continue. You got to stay in the word. You can't just pick it up when you want to. You got to stay in it by being a doer of the works. The Bible said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He said, well, how do we know when someone is really in the word? He said, because those people that's just religious, they can't bridle their tongue. You want to be saved and do the right thing? You say, you know what? As much as I can say, you know, a long time I get in some situations, I can say a whole lot, but I don't say it. You know why? Because pure religion and undefiled is this. You got to bridle it. So everything that comes in your heart and mind, you can't not say it because you're supposed to be a doer of the word and not a hearer. And that's how you can tell whether or not you really are saved and doing God's word. Do you zip it sometimes? You can't. It's everything that you think you cannot say. Because out of the same fountain the scripture said, come not bitter and sweet water. You cannot bless God and curse man. Somebody said, well, I can do it, but you can do whatever you want to do. But when you do what you want to do, you're going to govern by your flesh, your own lust, and you're not retaining God in your knowledge. Amen. I'm going to get to this. I'm going to get to it. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God raised them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is against nature, and receiving in themselves their just recompense of error which was meet them, and even as they did not like to retain. Every day we wake up, I heard Sister Cheryl or Mother Barbara said, every day they wake up, they say a prayer to God. You know why? Because they want to start the day off with retaining God and their knowledge. The reason that so many people are in error spiritually is they're no longer going by what God says in His Word. But they've been governed by the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit, where the spirit of Antichrist goes, and we're going to get into that too. Somebody said, we're going to get to everything. And all in one day. The spirit of Antichrist is anti-God. The spirit of Antichrist is anti-God. Just remember that, and when we get to it, we bring it out more. Amen? And God gave them over to a what kind of mind? To do those things which are. You ever see somebody say, whoa, how do you do that? God is no longer in their knowledge. They're not holding on to God anymore. Amen. Being filled with all of this unrighteousness and ungodliness, next verse. Backbiters, haters, disobedient to parents, inventors of evil things. Amen. Keep going. Without understanding, covenant breakers, unmerciful, implacable. Keep going. Who knowing. They say, you know the judgment. Anybody here know the judgment of God? Say, who knowing? God said, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, you know that when you sin, the consequences of sin is death. Death is separation from God. Amen? Said, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but then has, that means you tolerate it. You know it's wrong. And by you tolerating it, you are just as guilty. That's what Paul tells Timothy, be partaker.
No man's sins.
Be partaker of.
No man's sins.
No man. It's wrong and you're in it and you're comfortable and you don't correct it, then you are just as guilty as a guilty party because you did not make a stand for God, is what it means. You tolerated it. You accepted it. You knew it was wrong and you laughed and went along with it. He said, but you, what? No. The what? Judgment of God? Amen. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have. God forbid. God forbid. Hallelujah. Next verse. Therefore thou art, he says, you don't have no excuse. Amen. You don't have an excuse. Oh man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for when thou judgest another, thou
condemnest thyself.
God's word said, you know it's wrong. You're judging somebody else, but you condemn yourself because you knew it's wrong, but you did not separate from it. And then not separating, you had pleasure in it. Amen? For thou that judgest doest the what? Same. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The next verse. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that you shall. You're just as guilty. You think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? He said, well, ain't nothing happened yet. Not knowing this, that the what? Goodness of the Lord is intended to. God said, I'm trying to lead you to repentance. But you got to do it God's way. You got to do it the right way. Amen. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We only have a few more scriptures. Just a few more scriptures, but can we just let God increase and we decrease? Yeah. Anybody want to let, Lord, when I leave you, they say, Lord, you keep increasing and make me to decrease. Amen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the
latter times.
We're living in the last time, saints. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to that's demonic influences is all around. When you don't stay in God and you don't do it God's way, then that influence Antichrist. Remember I said the spirit of Antichrist will what? Influence you. And doctrines of devil speaking. They live a hypocritical life because they say one thing, but they live a turn the truth of God into a lie, right? These are those that are not retaining God in their knowledge. Because God's not in your knowledge, you can lie, you can hypocrite, and don't even bother. It says, the last part said, having their what?
Conscience
seared. With a hot iron. Now, that word seared in the Greek is kate riazo, from which we get our word cauterization. And cauterization is when you burn, for instance, you know, in medicine, when a person has a nosebleed, they cauterize it. They mean they burn it. They burn the end so it doesn't keep bleeding. It means you become insensitive. The last, one of the signs of the influence of the Antichrist is there's no longer a sensitivity to God. We're not sensitive to the move of God. We're not sensitive to the Spirit of God. Even in the saints, we can see their struggle. There's no spiritual sensitivity there. Why? We don't want to retain God in our knowledge. Got to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've got to learn to keep God in our knowledge. And when you don't keep God in your knowledge, you get cauterized spiritually. There's insensitivity. You don't feel the prayer. You don't feel the reach of God. You don't even feel the talk of witness. When the world is dying and on their way to hell, you can laugh with your friends, and not tell them about Jesus. That's an insensitivity to God's Spirit. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers. We've been prepared by our own lusts. Men are going to be lovers of what? And we stop right there. Now, this is how you know you love God and yourself more. Even though there might be a seeming penalty to be doing right, I still want to do what's right. The minute you don't do right, you love yourself more than God. Because anything you put before God becomes an idol. So, if you love yourself more than God, you don't retain God in your knowledge. Because if God's in your knowledge, you say, you know what? I'm supposed to look. Remember this, Deuteronomy 6:6. Can y'all remember this? We went over this Friday. Deuteronomy 6:6 is you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart,
all
thy soul, and all thy mind or might. That's how you know you love the Lord. All. Now, the minute you love the Lord with part of it, it's easy to do wrong. Because I'm not doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it unto man. Who's the man? Myself. Amen? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Go down to verse 3. Without natural affection, choose rapists, despisers of those that are. I'm so excited, brother and sisters, so-and-so, goody-two-shoe. That's the wrong spirit. As long as they're doing good, you're supposed to be behind them.
Right.
Amen? Next verse. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of. We're trying to identify the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of an evil influence. Lovers of pleasures.
More
than lovers of God. Then the next verse said they have what?
Form of God.
God's not concerned about the form. He's not concerned about how you are talking. He wants to know how you live. Having a form of godliness, but they're what?
Denying
the power thereof, the Bible says, from such, you got to turn away. We need to retain God in our knowledge, in our minds, in our heart. Now let's go to Psalms 50. I'm going to go just, for the sake of time, we're just going to do two more verses today. Amen. My only desire is that we're saved. When we leave church today, amen, we just got to keep looking on the inside. You have to ask yourself when you watch all that the Christians are going through over the Middle East. If that were me, if you were dealing with ISIS, and ISIS said you got four choices. Choice number one, you can convert and deny your Lord and Savior. Now, a lot of us have converted. We don't realize it. Well, how do we convert? Because you're not living for God anymore. You're not living for God, so you have converted. Hey, the scripture says, Isaiah says, let us wear all apparel, let us eat all bread, but what? Let us just be called. But that's your own lust. That's to what you want to do. Amen. So a lot of us have converted. So will you convert? Will you hold on to your faith? Will you pay a tax? Or will you die for the Lord? When I looked at all those dead people, I said, Lord, I pray in my heart, if I ever got to that point, I would have that kind of mind. Amen. And just to mock Christians, don't look it up because it's gory. It's really gory. But just to mock a Christian, if it was a woman, they would lay the body there and hang the head on the fence. And if it was a man, they would lay the body there and hang all around this whole square to the point I just turned it off. But they refused to deny the Lord. They loved the Lord above everything else. God was number one. As I said, one of the ways Voice of the Martyrs said when the rebels were ravaging these cities and towns and these Christian communities, that a lot of the Christians were either martyred or taken into prison. And then one church service, they said the rebels busted into the church. And they said, everybody that wants to live and deny Christ, you leave. But if you stay, you're going to die. He said so many people left out of the church. Then when they all left out, the rebels took off their masks and said, we're really Christians. We just didn't want to worship with no hypocrites. I wonder if that would have happened right now to us. What stand would we make? Amen? What stand would we make? Okay, let me go. Let me get back to this. I'm almost done. I'm almost finished. Let's drop down to verse 14. And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 14 says, offer unto God,
thanksgiving,
and pay thy vows. Offer unto God, the Bible says, in all things give thanks. For this is the
will of God.
I don't like it, but I thank you. Lord, I don't like where I live, but I thank you. I don't like the job I have, but I thank you. I don't like the car I drive, but I thank you. I don't like the clothes I wear, but I thank you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you learn to thank God for where you are, God can take you higher. But God cannot bless you until you learn to appreciate where you are. Amen. So you need to give him thanks and pay thy vows unto the Lord. Amen. He says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt. Anybody losing their glory for God? You know, every time there's a chance to testify, I say, I can't wait to get up and tell God, thank God for what he's done for me. Because that's the way I show him my thanksgiving. Yes, I'm going through, but I'm going to praise him while I'm in it. Because when our praises go up, I'm going to praise him right where I'm at right now. I'm not going to be the nine lepers that I get here. I'm not going to return and tell him, I tell the Lord, thank you. Jesus said, did not tend to heal, but only one who is a stranger. He said, you know, everybody else knew to come back and say thank you. But only this stranger came back and said, Lord, I'd rather be a stranger and say thank you than to be having a name and to know and go in and say, you know what? When you don't tell God thank you know what you're telling God? Whatever happened bad, I don't deserve it. And what happened good, you owe it to me. That's a bad mindset. Thank God for whatever you have in all things. Give thanks. But unto the wicked, God has said, what is thou to do to declare my statutes, that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? See thou, God said, you don't want instruction. You just want to come to church and do what you want to do. He said, and on top, besides hating instruction, you do what? You put my word behind you. Thy word is supposed to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But you can't, it can't be a light because you put it. Let Jesus lead me. Songs are all the way from earth to glory. Let him lead me. Amen. But you cast your word behind me. When thou sawest a thief and partaketh of adulterers, keep going. So thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue to frame. Deceit means that you're always speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You're not truthful. You're not honest. Paul told the church, he said, speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's deceit when you're not honest. Amen. Thou sinnest and speaks against and slanders thine own mother's son. That's a huge thing today. People talk about family more than anything. If you're in church, that's a family. You're supposed to talk about the saints. I don't talk about y'all. I won't talk about you. You know why? Because my job is not to talk about you. My job is to try to help you. So if I know you're going through something, I'm not going to say, hey, you know, so that's sowing discord. These six things. Somebody said, hey, you're going through the whole Bible one day. I'm going to go right there. These six things of the Lord hate, and seven.
Domination.
Seven are in a don't cause no discord. God hates that. That's what it means, right? But These things hast thou done, and I kept silent, and thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one. God said, you've been doing wrong for a long time. He said, I haven't done nothing yet, but I will. Because the Bible said, you will reap what you, be not deceived. God will not be mocked. Scoffers, mocked. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you reap life. What are you sowing? How are you sowing? Are you sowing with God's conscience? Are you coming with your own conscience? Amen. He said, but I will. God says eventually, because I did not execute judgment speedily. He said, but I will do it. Amen. I will reprove thee and set them in order. God said, you just keep doing what you want. He said, now when I start setting things in order, you're going to see it. Amen. We look at saints that have walked with the Lord for so long, and all of a sudden they turned and walked away from God. You know why? Their conscience became, you know what sears conscience? You know what makes a person that was godly and living for God do the wrong thing? Sin. Once you have a love for sin, you don't have a love for God. You can't love God and sin. You cannot love God and mammon. You will either hold the one and despise the other, you'll love the one and hate the other. You gotta make a sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said, now consider this, ye that. God said, I said all that to say what? Consider this, ye that forget God. So today, our desire, Lord, you increase. And I must. And we're closed in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Amen. I know this is a shout message, and it's probably not a Sunday message. But I hear somebody say, Lord, for above all else. Lord, for above all else. Lord, no matter what you have to do to me, I just don't want to be lost for eternity. Lord, so far above all else. Love above my best friend, above my husband, my wife, my children. Lord, above all else, I must be saved. And he said, Lord, I give you permission at this time. Whatever you have to do to me. Anybody got a whatever? Come on, anybody got a whatever this happened? Lord, whatever you have to do to me. In my mind, I just don't want to be lost for eternity, for above all else. I must be saved. Lord, 100 years from today, I want to be able to sing the songs of Zion, hallelujah, and glory to the Lamb. Above all else, I must be saved. And I heard somebody say, if you don't want to serve it, don't you hinder me. If you don't want to walk with the Lord, don't you get in my way. Hallelujah. I owe Jesus and nothing else. I owe God and nothing else. So if you don't want to do it, hallelujah. Glory, don't hinder me. I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. Chapter 32 and verse 9. We're going to close here. And this is a lengthy reading. We're going to close here. I just want to be saved. I don't care about anything else. Paul says to Timothy, he said, we brought nothing
into this world.
You brought nothing
into this world.
And you're not going to take anything. You came in here with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. There's only one thing that you brought into this world. The Bible said, and the Lord breathed on them and they became a living soul. When you die, your soul will live on. That's the only thing that you're going to take. This flesh, ashes to ashes, and
dust to dust.
It's going back to the ground. The only thing that's not going back is your soul. Your soul is a part of you that will live on forever somewhere. Think about it. Are you making an investment in your soul to eternally be with God? Are you making a poor investment with your soul to be damned forever? Think about it. What investment are you making? The reason there's so many people committed suicide, they made a poor investment. They lost money. Forget about money. If you lose your soul, you lost everything. What investment are you making? This is the Lord speaking to Moses. It says, and the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wing, taketh them, beareth them on her wing. This is what God says. So the Lord alone, God said, this is what I did for you. When I saved you, God said, you will walk by yourself. I took you and put you on my back. You're not where you are because of how good you've been. You are where you are because of how good God has been. Amen? And there was no strange God with them. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. Go into the next verse. He fed them with butter and thyme and all the good stuff. Next verse. He said, but Jeshurun, which is another name for Israel, waxed fat. And when they got blessed, they forgot God. When Jeshurun, Israel, got blessed, they kicked. They forgot God. Because thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he
shook God.
Woe unto them. And when God bless you, you forget God. You can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, when you live in the houses, in chapter 6, that you did not build, and you drink from the wells that you did not dig, and you eat from the trees, he said, beware lest ye. They forgot God. After all, listen, God said, I did all that for you, and you forgot me. Amen? They forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his. He said, God said, I did all that, and you forsook me. He said, you didn't have no reference for me. You started governing your life without a reference for me. Amen? They provoked him to jealousies with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. Now, let's follow this. They sacrificed unto. They sacrificed unto who? Well, why did they sacrifice unto devils? Because they forsook the Lord. Amen. They sacrificed unto devils and not to God. To God whom they knew not, to new gods they came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art mindful. God said, you got blessed, and then you forgot me. You're not even mindful. And as for God that
formed
thee, and when his law saw it, it abhorred him, because of the provoking of
his son.
God said, you are my children. It's like a parent, they do all for their children. Then the children get up and despise them. Amen. Children become a millionaire parent, which so hard to help them get there, they won't even give them a dime. He said, this is how God is preparing. He said, you're my children. I've done all of this for you. Then when you got to your place, you despise me. Amen. Next verse. I think we're going to close this. This is what we're going to finish off at. As we all stand. Amen. There's a lot more verses coming, but I'm staying on the time. I'm already over time. But I just want us to be saved. The title of my message is, I Just Want to Be Saved. Anybody just want to be saved? Lord, whatever other residual benefits I get, I just want to be saved. And he said, I will hide my, listen, when you don't do right for God, you do what you want to do. God said, you know why you're still in this condition or position? Because you've been doing what you want to do. God said, I hid my face. Why? Because you sacrificed to evil and it wasn't evil to God. I will see what they're in. God said, no, you've been doing all that you want. Listen, you've been doing what you want. He said, now I'm going to just back up. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to do it. He said, now I'm going to see what you're. Anybody, don't get to the point where God won't even see you and God will tempt you. Amen? I see what you answer me, for they are a very poor generation. children and who is, as the elders and the ministers come forward, I just want to say, I don't care about any possession more than God. God means more to me than anything this world can offer. God means more. Yes, I love my wife, I love my children, I love my family, I love all of you. But God is number one. God has to be number one. The moment you take your eyes off number one and start focusing on number two, then God begins to decrease in your life. Today is all about being saved. Being saved means to be honest. The scripture says concerning God, his eyes are in every place. God's eyes in every place. God sees you when nobody else sees you. God hears you when nobody else hears you. He knows the very thoughts and the meditation of your heart and mind at all times. It's hard to say to God, I do, when God reads your heart and says, your heart is saying you don't. You got to be real with God. If you want to be real, can you just give God a wave off? If you want to be real, just give God a wave off and say, God, I want to be real. And Lord, whatever you have to do, just don't let eternity hell again.